Lowell Thomas brings the news. From the White House, from Wellington, New Zealand, from Harrogate, England, comes today's news as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. But first, this message. Now, here is Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. The White House, an attempt today to come to grips with Watergate, as no doubt you've heard by now, starting out with a clean sweep of four top administration officials. This via a statement issued by President Nixon, announcing first the resignation of Richard Kleindienst as Attorney General. Not for lack of trust, said the President, but simply because of Kleindienst's close personal and professional association with alleged Watergate conspirators. At the same time, the President naming as Kleindienst's successor Defense Secretary Elliot Richardson. The latter, said he, to assume full responsibility and authority in uncovering the whole truth about this matter. The President also accepting the resignations of two of his closest friends and most trusted assistants, White House Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman and his Chief Domestic Advisor John Ehrlichman. The President again stressing no indication of any wrongdoing, merely an attempt to clear the air. Finally, said the President, I have today requested and accepted the resignation of John Dean as White House counsel. That post now falling to special White House consultant Leonard Garment. The President saying that from now on, Mr. Garment will represent the White House in all matters relating to the Watergate investigation. And he added, will report directly to me. The President further scheduling a nationwide broadcast for 9 o'clock tonight, Washington time. Then he's expected to discuss more fully the entire Watergate case. And this you will hear on many of these CBS radio stations. Meanwhile, the President's decision to act at last was drawing near unanimous approval from Capitol Hill. Senate Minority Leader Hugh Scott saying, the action that has been taken should have been taken when those in whom a president has placed his trust failed to merit that trust. Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield also commending the president. I'm sure, said he, the president had full access to the facts and acted accordingly. Senator Hatfield of Oregon saying that the next most important step is for the president to tell the American people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The White House again, an announcement today that Henry Kissinger will travel to Moscow later this week, there to meet Friday with Soviet Communist Party leader Leonid Brezhnev, the two to discuss matters of mutual interest, we hear, including Brezhnev's coming visit to Washington. The White House adding that Dr. Kissinger will remain in Moscow for additional talks for 4 or 5 days more. For Secretary of State Rogers, a trip today to Capitol Hill, where he testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the latest from Southeast Asia, there conceding that developments in the last few weeks have been disappointing, going on to say, we are greatly concerned over the repeated and serious violations of the Vietnam peace agreement by the communist side. He stressed, however, the fighting in South Vietnam has diminished to about its lowest point, and the two sides are discussing the political future of the area. There is, said he, still a good possibility the ceasefire will become effective in Vietnam and provide a basis for peace and security in that area. On the economic front, the Senate today approved a bill to extend President Nixon's wage price powers for one more year. The bill was then sent to the House, where passage was expected before a midnight deadline. Actually, the wage price bill was passed by the House just a little while ago and sent on to the White House. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration turned thumbs down today on the use of 9 so-called downers or barbiturates, urging stricter controls in a proposal submitted to the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. From the Federal Trade Commission, a complaint today naming 4 of the nation's leading makers of games, toys, and hobby items, these including the Milton Bradley Company, Pastime Industries, EduCards, and Avalon Industries, all of which are accused of using deceptive packaging, trying to fool the buyer into thinking he's getting more than he really is getting. The entire matter now subject to a hearing. the FTC insisting that henceforth, what you seize is what you get. Australia's Deputy Prime Minister Lance Bernard was a visitor today at Wellington, New Zealand. There, he endorsed New Zealand's plan to send a Navy frigate up into the South Pacific in an effort to head off any additional French nuclear testing. Bernard stressed, however, that Australia also agrees with New Zealand that this should be a last resort. A recent study aimed at gauging worker satisfaction is reported from Dallas, Texas. Dr. Herbert Greenberg coming to the conclusion that 8 out of every 10 Americans are dissatisfied with their jobs to the point where they hate to get up in the morning, look forward only to quitting time and weekends, and generally feel frustrated much of their lives. Dr. Greenberg also said, however, that more and more workers are refusing to remain typecast. The misemployed, as he put it, increasingly seeking satisfaction in new fields. He also adds, it's not important what a person did in the past, but what he can do in the future. From Harrogate, England, comes the story of Kathleen Shanks, age 24. She entered nearly 100 beauty contests before she finally won one this past weekend. Miss Kathleen Shanks becoming the 1973 Pet Queen at Britain's 11th annual Pet Trade Fair, whereupon she immediately announced her retirement as a beauty contestant. Miss Shanks saying, Bill, I'm getting married soon, and I'm fed up with watching my figure and slimming. What's more, she, I'd rather be happy and cuddly.
I'll vote for her any day, Lowell, and just add a squeeze or two. Now for your final story, Lowell.
This past weekend, as you know, the start of daylight saving time, and virtually nationwide, too, except for 5 churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They refused to speed up their clocks, instead holding regular services at the regular hour as if there were no change at all, on the theory, perhaps, that in God's country, it's always God's time, and so long until tomorrow.
Listen again tomorrow evening for Lowell Thomas and the News. This broadcast came to you from CBS News.